So retro gaming on a budget, huh?
Definitely seems to be the hot ticket these days.
Yeah, you see all these handhelds popping up, promising the world. But this R36S thing has my attention.
Yeah, for around $50, it's definitely caught some eyes.
But can it deliver?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Luckily, we've got a mountain of reviews, user impressions, the whole nine yards to see if this thing's worth your hard-earned cash.
Awesome. So where do we even begin with something like this?
Well, gotta start with the basics, right? What's
Okay.
the build? Like, how's the screen? And most importantly, how does it actually play?
And I'm seeing right off the bat, people are digging the design.
Yeah, it's surprisingly sleek, right?
Yeah.
Especially for a budget device.
Definitely beats lugging around some clunky old brick.
Haha, exactly. But there have been some rumblings about the build quality.
Ooh.
Like,
So
well,
where?
some reviewers have mentioned creaking in the casing.
Interesting. So maybe not quite as premium as it looks.
Could be a sign of cost-cutting measures. You know how it goes.
True, true. All right. Well, for $50, maybe a little creak here and there is forgivable.
As long as it doesn't fall apart on us, right?
Exactly. Okay, so let's talk about that screen, the gateway to all our pixelated nostalgia.
Right, so the R36S is rocking a 3.5-inch display.
That's pretty decent, right? Especially at this price point.
Yeah, it's not going to blow you away with crazy resolution or anything, but it's bright, the colors pop, and it seems like viewing angles are pretty solid.
Okay, so it gets the job done.
For retro games, absolutely.
I did notice a few mentions of PSP games feeling a bit cramped, though.
Yeah, that makes sense. PSP games were designed for a wider screen.
So you lose a bit of that real estate on the R36S?
Exactly. It's definitely something to consider if you're a big PSP fan.
Right. Okay, so screen seems decent. Build quality has its quirks. But what about the controls?
Yes, the make or break for any handheld.
Because what good is a library of classic games if the controls are awful?
Tell me about it. And this is where the R36S gets really interesting.
Oh, how so?
It's got dual analog sticks.
No way. For $50. Seriously.
Yep, you heard that right. Dual analog at this price is practically unheard of.
That's a game changer, especially for PS1 and Dreamcast games.
Exactly. It blows competitors like that Miu Mini Plus or the Ambernag RG35XX right out of the water in that regard.
Okay, so big points for the analog sticks, but I gotta ask, no compromises on the D-pad or buttons, right?
Well, there's a bit of a trade-off there. The reviews are pretty consistent on this one. The D-pad and buttons can be a bit stiff.
So how much of an issue is that really?
It depends on what you're playing.
Okay, so let's break that down a bit.
Yeah.
What types of games would those stiffer controls be a problem for? For me, it's got to be fighting games,
Yeah.
right? Like those split-second combos.
Yeah, that's where button feel is crucial.
So how does the R36S hold up?
For casual play, you're probably fine, but if you're hardcore into fighting games,
You're going to notice those stiffer buttons.
exactly. It's not going to replace a dedicated fight stick or
Yeah,
anything.
makes sense. So you win some, you lose some. It's all about those trade-offs.
Okay.
But all right, let's talk emulation, because that's what really matters, right?
Mm-mm.
How well can this thing actually play the
And
games?
the R36S does not shy away from ambition here. It's promising everything from 8-bit and 16-bit classics all the way to PS1, N64, even Dreamcast.
Okay, now that's a bold claim. Especially those later consoles, emulation can be a nightmare.
For sure. So let's break it down by system because performance isn't consistent across the board.
Sounds good. Hit me with it.
Starting with the classics, your NES, SNES, Sega Genesis, the R36S handles them like a champ.
Music to my ears. No slowdown, no glitches, just pure retro bliss.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like having a time machine for those 8 and 16-bit games.
Love it. But what about when things get a little more demanding? How does it handle the jump to PS1?
That's where we start to see the limits a bit. Now, it can run a good chunk of the PS1 library, don't get me wrong.
Okay, so we're not talking about perfect emulation here.
Right, it's not a dedicated PS1 classic, but for casual playthroughs of most games, it's surprisingly capable.
Like, what kind of games are we talking about here? Give me some examples.
Stuff like Crash Bandicoot Spyro. Even Metal Gear Solid runs without major issues.
Not bad, not bad.
Yeah.
Are there any specific titles people should watch out for, though?
Yeah, games that really push the PS1's hardware, like Tekken 3 or Final Fantasy VII, might see some slowdown or graphical glitches.
So manage your expectations, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're dying to ask about N64 and Dreamcast, aren't you?
You know me too well.
Oh.
All right, lay it on me. How badly does it crumble into those?
Well, it's a mixed bag, to be honest. It can technically run games from both systems, but it's very hit or miss.
Like what kind of hit or miss? Be specific.
Okay, so N64 simpler games like Mario Kart 64 actually run quite well, believe it or not.
Huh. Color me surprised. But what about the more demanding stuff?
Yeah, GoldenEye 007, Perfect Dark, those are going to struggle. Frame rate drops, graphical hiccups, the whole deal.
So maybe not the ideal N64 experience then.
It's more like a way to sample some games rather than a full-blown replacement.
And what about Dreamcast?
Even more hit or miss.
Yeah.
Honestly, your best bet is sticking to 2D titles.
So basically, don't get your hopes up for any demanding 3D Dreamcast action.
Pretty much. It's about being realistic. But even with those limitations, the R36S has one major thing going for it, and that's ArcOS.
ArcOS. Okay, we've mentioned it a few times. But for the uninitiated, what makes this operating system so special?
Think of it like this ArcOS was designed specifically for retro gaming handhelds from the ground up.
So it's purpose-built. Makes sense.
Exactly. Super streamlined, intuitive, and constantly being updated.
Constantly updated.
Yeah, it's open source with a huge community behind it. So new features, bug fixes, you name it, they're always improving it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's not just a static device.
Yeah.
It actually gets better over time.
Precisely. And that ties into the whole modding and customization scene, which is huge for the R36S.
Oh, yeah. I've heard whispers about that. What can people actually do with this thing?
Sky's the limit, really. You can tweak the interface, add shaders, even install different emulators.
Wow. Talk about bang for your buck. But before we go full on tech wizard, let's talk battery life. Because that can make or break a portable console.
Absolutely. And the R36S actually holds its own there. You're looking at around 4 to 6 hours of playtime on a single charge.
That's not too shabby at all.
Yeah.
Certainly enough for a decent gaming session.
And here's where it gets even better. The R36S has a removable battery.
Wait, seriously? In this day and age, most manufacturers are gluing those things in.
I know, right? It's a breath of fresh air. You can swap out the battery if it degrades. No more planned obsolescence.
Huge points for that. Okay, so we've covered a lot. Design controls, emulation, battery life.
Mm-hmm.
But what are actual users saying about the R36S?
That's what really matters in the end, right? Let's dive into the user reviews and find out.
And you don't have to dig very deep to see people are loving this thing.
Yeah, for the price, it's getting a lot of praise.
People are calling it a retro gaming dream. Perfect for on the go, stuff like that.
That's awesome to hear, especially that on the go aspect. That's a big selling point for a lot of people.
For sure. And speaking of things people love, the user friendliness keeps coming up.
What do you expect with ArcOS, right? It's practically plug and play.
Yeah, one user said they were up and running in minutes. No complicated setups, no hassles.
Exactly. And that's huge for retro gaming, because who wants to spend all their time fiddling with settings?
Not me. I just want to play some games. Speaking of which, we do need to address the emulation legality elephant in the room.
Right, because while the R36S itself is perfectly legal, things can get a little murky when we talk about ROMs.
So for those who are new to this, what's the deal with ROMs and emulation legality?
Basically, you want to make sure you're only downloading and playing ROMs of games that you actually own.
So if I've got the cartridge or disc collecting dust in the attic, I'm good to go.
Exactly. It's all about respecting those intellectual property rights.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so final verdict time. Who is this thing perfect for?
I think it's a no-brainer for anyone who's on a budget and wants to relive those retro glory days.
So if 8-bit and 16-bit games are your jam,
the R36S is an absolute steal.
But what about those hardcore emulation fanatics? The ones who want perfect N64 and Dreamcast?
Yeah, they're going to want to look elsewhere.
Maybe spend a little extra cash.
Exactly. The R36S is great, but it's not a miracle worker.
That's fair. This has been awesome. We've gone from specs and emulation all the way to the ethics of ROMs.
It's been a wild ride.
It really has. But before we call it a day, I want to leave our listeners with this. The R36S is amazing for retro gaming, but could it be even more than that? With the open source software, the modding community, could this be a gateway into a whole world of customization?
That's a great question. And it really speaks to how these budget-friendly devices are blurring the lines between just playing games and actually tinkering with the tech.
Food for thought. Right. Well, on that note, we'll wrap things up here. A huge thanks to you for geeking out with us. And make sure to check back next time for another deep dive.